God, I believe that your word has all that I need. I believe wholeheartedly that in your word, I can live and move and have my entire being. I believe that your word has all the answers to my life, to my marriage, to my children, to my job. God, would you please give others that same faith? May the faith of knowing that you're all we need be contagious, intoxicating. God, may you change people's lives today by the power of your word. May my words be few. May your words be many. God, help us to experience a touch from your hand. Change our lives. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to read to you something. Austin did a little research for me. There's a man named Aaron Rodgers. Does anybody know who that is? Aaron Rodgers? Hands? You guys know who he is? Aaron Rodgers plays football for the Green Bay Packers. He just signed a contract for 5 years and $110 million, $54 million guaranteed. He gets $22 million per year, $1.833 million per month, $458,333 per week, $65,476 per day, and he hasn't won a Super Bowl since he signed that contract. It's quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is well taken care of. The Green Bay Packers have invested a lot of money. Enough money to make everybody in here really happy. And because they've invested this money in him, let me tell you what they have available for him. Because they've invested over $100 million, if Aaron Rodgers has a tummy ache, they have a doctor on call. If Aaron Rodgers gets hit by one of his linemen, they have a doctor ready. They have MRI and X-ray machines. He has the finest nutritionists. Custom shoes, custom gear. Aaron Rodgers is well taken care of because of the investment. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how much how much less would it take for them not to be so concerned? Here's what I mean. Let's say Aaron Rodgers didn't play on the Green Bay Packers and was the highest paid player in the world. What if Aaron Rodgers played on the local little league, you know, midget football league, whatever they call it this year, and he got hurt? Would anybody really care? No. But they care because there's money invested in him. Lots of money. They're counting on the fact that the Green Bay Packers are going to sell out every single game at home, like they always do. They're counting when you see, oh man, Green Bay's playing, man, Aaron Rodgers, man, he's something else. You're going to turn it on. And the advertisers will invest their money, thus they can pay Aaron Rodgers his money. Does anybody not know where I'm going yet? Let me explain to you. Money in this world is power. With money, if Aaron Rodgers, God forbid, and I don't know the guy, if Aaron Rodgers gets a DUI, you think he's going to do any time? If Aaron Rodgers cheats on his wife, you think they're going to sit him down and fire him? If Aaron Rodgers hits somebody in his car, if Aaron Rodgers becomes a junkie, if Aaron Rodgers, and God forbid, I certainly don't mean to be cursing the guy. I don't know him. He's probably a great guy. He's probably a swell guy. But what do you think they would invest in this man at $110 million over 5 years? I mean, can you spend that much money? Some of you guys are like, I wouldn't mind trying. There's a great movie, by the way, called Brewster's Millions. You guys remember? Great flick. Just watch that one. It's clean. You can watch it with the kids. But it was a really interesting flick about a guy who had to spend money, but Richard Pryor. However, Aaron Rodgers has a lot invested in him. And because the power, do you realize that the NFL is a billion-dollar industry? $1 billion. Some of you guys are like, are you going to get to the Bible study or not? Listen, I'm painting a picture. Stay with me. Watch. Okay, I'll do it now. What does God have invested in you? Ooh, I didn't know you were going there. Yeah, let me tell you what God has invested in you. His Son. The blood of His Son was shed for you. God looked down somewhere, someplace in time, when you were at your absolute worst. And He said to you, I love you. And some of you guys, with a heart heavy, burdened by your sin, you said, but God, I have nothing to give you. But God, I am empty. I'm bereft of anything good. I am bankrupt, destitute. I can give you nothing. And God said, that's okay. I'm investing in you anyway. But here's the part of this I want you to see that's important here. You think a $1 billion industry's got some power? Let me tell you who's got some power. God Almighty. And if you happen to get a DUI, if you happen to mess up your marriage, if you happen to do something to your body, if you happen to fill in all those things that I said could happen to Aaron Rodgers, what you think God's going to do? Oh, forget it. I didn't know you were going to do that. I'm out of here. No. No. Just like the NFL and Aaron Rodgers, God's got too much invested in you to let you down. He's going to jump in. He's going to send angels. He's going to get in your life and say, okay, here's how we're going to fix this. The first thing you got to do is start to pray. Okay? Then you got to read the Word of God. Then that'll make you strong and that'll help you say no. Because here's what happens. What if God did just rescue you like the NFL would rescue Aaron Rodgers? I'll just hire a lawyer, pay off the guy, and let him off. You think Aaron Rodgers is going to be any better for it afterward? See? Because God's love for you is better than the NFL's love for you. Because let me tell you something. Whether you're making $110 million or you're playing on a midget football field, it don't matter. God invests that money in you anyway. Priceless. An endless supply. The blood of His Son. You guys have heard me say this. I love you all. I really do. Some of you guys have been such an integral part of my life for so many years. But if your life depends on me giving my son, like, dude, I'll see you in heaven. You know what I mean? Sorry, I love my son. I love my son a lot. I might die for you. I might even let one of my dogs die for you. But you're asking me for my daughters or my son? Sorry, bye. I just don't have that much invested in you. Think about that. And I'm saying that very, not to be comedic. Think about what it took for God, how much He has invested in you. So now you could say, wow, I really can't fail. And God, He has what we call an addendum. He has a can't miss clause. You know what it's called, guys? Grace. In case you really, really mess up bad, God just goes, G-R-A-C-E, which is a really cool acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. He just wipes it away. He just erases it. You don't got to do nothing. You don't got to hire a lawyer. You don't got to go into a drug program. Now, some of you should, but that's not what I'm talking about. He just wipes your sin away. But here's what happens, guys, and please stay with me on this thought. I've painted that picture. Tony, you just missed the greatest picture. You got to get the tape, bro. You just missed it. You could sneak up the aisle, make them believe nobody's watching, but we see you.
He was at Amanda Holyfield's house when he got here.
I'm jealous now. There's Christians walking around who feel empty, who feel faithless, who feel alone. They don't get it. They don't understand. I don't understand it. I'm a Christian, and I see other people, and I hear about all of the things they're doing for God and their experiences with God, and I hear it, and I see it, and I'm not getting it, though. I've been in a relationship, and I did stupid things, and I feel empty. I was in an illegal thing that I did, and I did it, and I feel empty, and I feel alone. But something is missing. I'm not getting what I see or I think other people are getting and I see. And I want to know why. Well, remember I said Aaron Rodgers has a great nutritionist? He also has the best medication known to men. Listen, if he gets messed up, a little HGH. Now, again, I don't know Aaron Rodgers. I'm only using him as an example. I'm saying, you said I use steroids. I don't know if the guy uses steroids. I don't know. I'm using all of him as an example because it fits. And you will get the HGH / steroids / creatine in Christianity too. You will hear about the new preacher. A fire comes when he preaches. There's so many thousands that come and see because, man, he's funny. And everybody goes to their church, man. Everybody goes, what's going on in church? Anybody in the new church they're going to? Why? What's going on? You got to hear the band. You got to hear what they're doing over there. It's like HGH for the spirit. New steroid. Oh, I read this book. When I was a young Christian, it was called The Prayer of Jabez. Oh, my goodness. If you pray this prayer, the prayer of Jabez, it will change your life. I'm telling you, it will change your life. And then it was like 40 days to a better you and purpose-driven whatever. But it wasn't enough because purpose-driven sold a lot. So let's package it. And now purpose-driven relationship, purpose-driven job, purpose-driven purpose, purpose, purpose. Just purpose, purpose, purpose. If purpose-driven sold, then purpose, purpose, purpose will sell. Little steroids for the spirit. Now, some of you guys, I see the look, and you're like, what the heck are you talking about now? There is no shortcut. There is no HGH. There is no steroid for your spirit, guys. It's make-believe. And if you've been in Christianity as long as I have, and some of you guys have been in a lot longer, you've seen the rise and the fall of all of the merchants. You've seen them come and you've seen them go. You've seen them on TV and they make a big deal out of them and then they fell. Oh, and I'm sorry. And they tell their wives how sorry they are. And on live TV and they tell people, I've sinned, but God be good. But, and then they start all over again and it happens again. And how many people blast me? Ah, I'm sick of this guy. And Paul walk around. I thought your thing worked. Nice for you. There's no HGH for the spirit. There's no steroid. You want to start? Jiu-Jitsu 101, day one. Learn how to do hip escapes. Jiu-Jitsu is hip escapes. You get down on the mat, and you push out one side, and you push out the other side, and you go back and forth and back and forth. And when you've done that about 100,000 times, you'll start to learn. And I got... sorry, maybe it's not sorry news, but I'm going to tell you, as I've said before, there's a story we're going to look at in a few weeks, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was a great man. Oh, you guys know who Elijah is. So great was he that you guys, some of you guys that don't know the scriptures real well, you think Elijah and Elisha were the same guy. But there's one guy named Elijah and there's another guy named Elisha. Elisha was Elijah's, like, his helper. And he followed him everywhere. And Elijah said, look, I got to go now. You got to stay here. He goes, I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying with you. He goes, look, I got to go over there. You stay here. He goes, I ain't going nowhere. Elijah's like, look, I got business to take care of. You stay here. I am staying with you. Where you go, I go. It's like Ruth and Naomi. Your people are my people. Your friends are my friends. Where you live, I live. And some of you guys, my brothers here, you have this almost weirdly, and if this sounds arrogant, I'm sorry, but I see it. This weird awestruck, starstruck, when you talk to me or you talk to one of the other guys. You want the secret to my success? It ain't steroids or HGH. It's I know what's been invested in me. And because he's invested in me, the blood of his son, I'm investing in him my blood, sweat, and tears. Because if he promises to take care of me and he tells me how I'm going to be able to tap into that strength, I don't have to walk around and go, I just don't get it. Everybody else gets it, but I don't get it. Of course you don't get it. You've not been listening. We've been talking about the five smooth stones, have we not? How many years have we talked about the five smooth stones? David picked up five smooth stones. Why does that keep doing that, bro? Are these one of these things turned on too hot? Maybe turn down the, I don't know, thank you. So we talked about the five smooth stones, and it's easy to apply them. Spiritually speaking, there's five ways to enlarge your spirit. There's five ways to grow so that you will feel what you're supposed to. Or you can just be another also-ran, and you'll never get that $110 million spiritual contract from the Lord. Where God looks down and says, hey, I got to work for you. You want to do it? Do whatever you tell me to, God. I got people that need to hear the word of God. I got people that need somebody to lead them. But let me tell you, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be hard. You're going to try to love people and they're going to run from you. You're going to try to love people and they're going to trash you. Your friends will turn out to be your enemies, and those that love you will turn out to be the ones that hate you the most. And unless you're ready for this, forget it. Otherwise, it's just spiritual HGH. And you can be the next big pastor or the next big prophet, and everybody, oh. And in 10 years' time, cheat on your wife, leave your husband, money scandal, sex scandal, whatever. Or do you want to do just forward? Five smooth stones: prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, witness. There they are. That's how you get strong. That's it. That's how it works. If you're a striker here, if you're into boxing, everything works from 1, 2, 3. Everything comes out of there. 1, 2, 3. Everything comes from there. 2, 3, 2. Everything works from there. Day one, just hit the bag 500 times, please, and we'll talk after that. There's no, you want to be, I tell you how you could punch harder. If you will pick this rock up and throw it over there. I heard there's a new trainer and he's got guys that, forget it. Forget it. It doesn't work spiritually. There is no application. If you are weak, if you can't get your relationship together with God, if you can't get your relationship together with your spouse, if you can't hold down a job, if you can't get off of drugs, if your health is weak and failing, you need these things. Because you can't get through it otherwise. You're just kidding yourself. And you're going to fall. With that as a foundation, an introduction, so to speak, verse 1, chapter 6, the book of Matthew. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Well, that kind of sucks for every pastor that's written a book, got a TV show, got all these, I mean, that kind of blows that out of the water, doesn't it? Now, I thought that the blessing of the Lord means that a lot of people come to your church. I thought that the blessing of the Lord means that you make a lot of money. Well, if it's in your Bible like it's in my Bible, well, not my Bible, but if it's in your Bible in red, that's because the Lord Jesus himself said it. Take heed, be careful if you want a lot of people to know who you are, because that's not what we do. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Ouch. You have no reward. You could circle that word for reward, and right next to it, reward. Get nothing back. Your investment is then paid in full. Aaron Rodgers gets $110 million over the next 5 years. That's it. What more you want? You want a statue outside the ballpark? Bring us a Super Bowl. You show up and play, you throw a bunch of passes and make a lot of touchdowns, you win a bunch of games, then we'll talk about a reward. You get your 110, that's it. No reward. Why? Because you got your reward. That's it. That's what they do. They scream his name. That's it. Super Bowl, 110, fat bank account, big house. That's it. If that's what you're looking for, guys, and I say that spiritually, excuse me, as well as physically, what are you doing here? That's not God's plan for you. Sacrifice. You want to be rich? You're going to get rich in here.
Soccer is a good game.
What'd you say?
Soccer.
Soccer.
Good game. Juventus, Milan, Spain, Europe.
Yeah.
Big money.
I don't like soccer. I mean, I don't mind if other people play soccer. This is all right. I don't know what that had to do with the Bible study, but I mean, you could get rich if you play a good soccer, I guess, too. I don't know any soccer players. Are there any good soccer players? What's their names? What's that dude's name? Beckham? Okay, I can start. I'm going to start all over and use Beckham as a. You guys are like, don't do that. That's been a long time. Okay, therefore, verse 2, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in all the synagogues as in the streets, as they have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Let me explain to you what would happen. You'd have these Pharisees, you'd have these very wealthy, these very spiritual, and when they did something charitable, they wanted everybody to see it. So they would have their own TV show, and they would have an outreach, and TBN would broadcast it, and they would say, I am going to heal somebody. And they'd wheel somebody up, and they'd lay their hands on, they'd pray, get up out of the chair, get up. And a person would get up, and they'd walk, and they'd, oh my goodness, look at Benny Hinn, how wonderful you are. Oh, Benny Hinn. Magic man, magic hands. So you got your reward. What you want now? You want heaven too? You might not get there, buddy. That old saying, I quote it often, you'll be more surprised by who you don't see in heaven than by who you do see. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Let me tell you what happens. Sometimes somebody comes to me. It happened a couple weeks ago. Let me say, here. Here's the title to my car. Give it to somebody who needs it. What? Should give it to somebody who needs it. Okay. People really do that? Yeah, they do. Because they take this verse literally, and they don't want nobody to know what they're doing, because the faith that God sees, and they're investing back in God, who have invested so much in them, is real. And they wholeheartedly believe that to help somebody else, on the down low, on the quiet side, is God saying, I got you. You will have a reward when you get to heaven because you didn't want nobody to know. But he takes it one step further, he says. Look at verse 5. And when you pray, you shall be not like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. On the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. He said there was guys that pray. We're going to have a prayer meeting. Ready? I will pray. Bring me the card. Father, I thankest thou that I am not like other men. I tithe every week. I'm not like this tax collector. You guys that know scripture know what I'm talking about. And it can happen to me. I've been involved in prayer meetings now for the past 17 or 18 years, since I'm a young Christian. So I've learned how to pray in public. And believe me when I tell you, sometimes my flesh kind of creeps up into my spirit, and I don't feel the power of God, but I can use big words. So everybody thinks, oh, listen to him pray. Oh, it means nothing. It means nothing. If your heart's not connected to God, if your heart's not right with God, it means nothing. Don't pray to be seen by men. A stumbling, God, I don't remember the verse. I don't remember where it is. Oh, no, it's not John. God looks down and goes, oh, precious. God loves that. A heart that is in awe of God because they're sure God is listening and they don't want to mess up any of their words. God is so blessed by that. He says, you think I'm impressed that the Pharisees walk around and they make an announcement? Excuse me, I'm about to give out money, and they blow the trumpet, and there he is, and he gives a dollar, and oh, how magnanimous this man is, and how generous he is. And then, wait a second, I will now pray for this person. These flowers shall arise because I shall pray over them. Come on. And why, if you turn on Christian TV, that's all you see? What have we become? An underground grassroots movement that started from some guy who lived in a town smaller than Deerfield Beach. We've marketed him. We've marketed him with our t-shirts and our bumper stickers and our music. God save us. What was he talking about? Does anybody read this and go, I must have missed something? Or better, you read this and you go, man, they must have missed something. What did I miss? I must have missed something. Where's the part about writing a book and making millions of dollars? Where's the part about being a big shot? Going into full-time ministry. Someday I hope to go into full-time ministry. Or I quit my job and I'll just work for the church. I must have missed that in here. I thought the Apostle Paul made tents everywhere he went and worked. He had to negotiate. He had to use his hands. And then on a weekend, he went and preached at the synagogue. No, I want to be in full-time ministry. If you guys would just tithe more, I can be in full-time ministry. I got a better idea. Give you money to poor and I'll just keep working because I really like working. Don't hear that too much, do you? Why not? But you, when you pray, go into your room. Now, I want you to notice something. Here I'm going to make it a little bit introspective. You notice when he wrote that, what he wrote, he said, but you, when you pray. He didn't say, but you, if you pray. Because Christian, if you want to be strong in faith, you must pray in secret. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. He says, you know what? And our Father, a Hail Mary, Jabez prayer, maybe the first few times you say it, it's wonderful. But after that, you're going to lose the whole train of thought. Don't be just repetitious. Don't be this vain, rogue, repetitive thing, because you're not, nobody cares about your words. They don't mean nothing, because God is interested in a relationship with you. Imagine if every morning I woke up, good morning, honey, what would you like for breakfast? Well, I'd like eggs. Here's your oatmeal. Next day, good morning, honey, what would you like for breakfast? How about some oatmeal? Here's your oatmeal. Good morning, honey, what would you like for breakfast? Toast? Here's your oatmeal. Imagine that. No matter what God said to you, what a conversation you'd have with your wife, you said the same thing to her every single time, she'd be like, I don't know this dude. I don't even know you. I don't know why we got divorced. You didn't talk to the woman. I can't talk. I don't even understand what she says. That's no excuse. We're men. We're never going to understand what a woman says. If you've never made that sound at your wife, you're not really married. Huh? I don't understand. I don't know what I did wrong now. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need of before you ask him. I love that verse. That's like my favorite verse. Did you hear that? Don't you think your Father knows what you need? You know how much he has invested in you? He's got the spiritual HGH, and it's called prayer. It's called the spiritual P-R-A-Y. You want to be strong in faith. You want to be strong in power. You want God to bless your life. Pray in secret. Really visualize, picturalize, however it's going to be. You go into your closet, you go into your room, you close the door, nobody's there. And you put a chair there. Move that. Put a chair there. And you visualize the Lord. However you may visualize him, whether he's white, black, Hispanic, Indian, I don't care. You visualize him sitting there. You get on your knees. And you say, God, I am so messed up. My thinking is crazy. My actions are nuts. You've done so much for me. And I just want to live my life for you. I want you to make sense of my life. I want you to repair my relationships. Get me off these drugs. I mean, whatever it is, you have this real interaction. But more so than that, because here's what I always get. I don't know what to pray. I start to pray. I lose my train of thought. I don't even know. I pray, and then all of a sudden, I'm thinking about some TV show I watched the other day. I can never just... So the Lord said, no problem. I got your back. He says, when you pray, in this manner, therefore pray. Now, you see where it says manner? You could circle that word, and you could write next to it pattern. P-A-T-T-E-R-N. This is not what you repeat. Now, most of the Bibles, even my Bible says the Lord's Prayer. Terrible. This is not the Lord's Prayer. You know what this is? This is your prayer. If you really want to read the Lord's Prayer, it's quite intimate and wonderful. It's in John chapter 17. That was the prayer where God is interacting with the Father. I'm sorry, the Lord Jesus is interacting with the Father God. And that is a prayer that you're reading that. And that's just what the Lord, that's the Lord's Prayer. You can check that out for homework if you want. John 17, that's the Lord's Prayer. Title. Not a title. This is your prayer. Do you have a question? Huh? What? The model prayer. That's much better. Is that an NIV? Of course it is. Read the right Bible. I'm just teasing. So here's what I did, guys. I broke this down into the sections of what I do, and I've been doing this every single day for more than 10 years. I used to do ACTS, A-C-T-S. So I used to start this acronym. ACTS, A is adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, S, supplication. And for years, I would do that, and I'd pray, adoration, God, I love you, I adore you, you're everything to me. And I'd just keep going until I ran out of thought, and then, okay, C, confession, God, you know, I looked at that, and I shouldn't have looked at that, and God, you know, I did that, and I definitely shouldn't have done that, and I don't even want to talk about that. You want to talk about it? But I really don't want to talk about it. No, okay, so you're not going to tell, you promise you're not going to tell anybody? I mean, if the angels found out, I'd be really embarrassed. That's the type of interaction. But what I did was I heard a pastor, Jeff Buck, told this one time. He taught this, and I said, man, I love this, because here is the pattern, the model. This is now how you pray. So for you guys that are needing power, because a lot's invested in you, you want to invest back in it, and you just find yourself weak, step one, prayer. Spend time with God every single morning. According to Scripture, God Himself, the Lord Jesus, woke up and spent time with His Father every single morning. All through Scripture, early will I seek you, while the sun's up, in the night watches, over and over and over and over again, it talks about it. Now, here's a weird thing. You Bible scholars, you Bible geeks here like me, you have this thing. Well, wait a second. Doesn't the Bible say to pray without ceasing? But now here the Lord Jesus said to go in your room and pray and shut the door. And there's almost like a contradictive thing here, because you're like, wait a second. So can I go in my room and pray and yet pray all the time? Oh, I know what he's saying. I should stay home all day long and pray. No, that is not what he's saying. Paul was talking about a different type of prayer. Imagine if you were so in touch with the Spirit, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you were constantly in this second voice meditative prayer. Have you ever talked to somebody and all of a sudden their voice just starts to go, and like in your head you're thinking, man, I wish I can get out of this thing. Please stop talking. I have no idea what you're saying anymore. And then you just go like this, really? You know what I'm talking about? You have like that second voice inside your head that's talking to you while somebody else is talking to you. You could even be talking to them while you're talking to yourself. And you're like, at one point, you're like, this is great. I'm talking, I'm reading, and I'm talking to myself inside. I got like three people going on here. Truly, I am schizophrenic. You're laughing, hopefully, because I'm not the only one, right? So that's the type of prayer that Paul was talking about, to pray without ceasing. Always be asking God which direction, because you never know where God wants you to go. And every once in a while, God just he just flicks your head and goes, go that direction. Okay, I'm going that direction. And you can't hear that. You can't be tentative to that. But you also cannot be sensitive to that without that first one-on-one prayer. That one-on-one, quiet, silent, just you and God. Some of you guys right now are like, I don't have time. I got the kids. I got the work. I got, make the time. There is no shortcut. It ain't going to happen otherwise, guys. If any of you guys are here and you're weak and you're not, your relationship is suffering, your job is suffering, your spiritual relationship with the Lord, if it's suffering, this is it. If you can't do this, guys, forget about it. Then you just tattoo grace on your forearm, and remember, that's all you got to live on is grace. But if you want some power with that grace, if you want a little pepper with that salt, here it is. Step one, today, dedicate your life to prayer. And you'll see the wolves coming, ladies. Here it is. So the first thing I want you to do is circle the latter part of verse 9, where it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just circle that and write down number one. That's the first part. So you go into your room, you shut the door, and you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is like you don't even, it's a humble way of looking at something, something that's so wonderful, the name of the Lord Jesus. You guys notice you'll never, 99 out of 100 times, I never say Jesus. I say Lord Jesus, or I say Jesus Christ, or I say the Lord. Because to me, that name, it's so hallowed. It's so, he's not my buddy. I'm glad he calls me friend, but I don't call him friend. I call him master. I call him Lord. He's the Lord Jesus to me. Hallowed be his name. So what I do sometimes, and you guys that know me, sometimes I'll go through the alphabet. A, God, I adore you. B, you're beautiful. C, you're courageous. D, I just go through these things just to let God know how much I love him. Now, here's the thing. What I'm about to show you, you can finish it in 5 minutes or you can finish it in an hour. That's up to you. How much ever time you devote. If you're new to prayer and you've never done this, listen, don't jump in the deep end. Don't go into the gym and put a 45 on each plate. You know, don't you're going to start running and now let me start with a 5K. Don't do that. Just sprint, man. Just take a little sprint. Tomorrow, get up and breeze through these things in 5 minutes before you get to the Word. Are you with me? Have I lost anybody here? Please, I tried to paint this picture. I'm telling you how to tap into the power of God. You want to know the secret to my success? There is no secret. I've been doing this for 20 years. How did God take a criminal? In case you all are new to the church, I'm a criminal. I am a convicted felon. I've been arrested 20 some odd times. I've never been faithful to anything in my entire life. How did God take a criminal and make him a pastor? Prayer. I sit before God a broken, contrite, bankrupt, bereft of anything. And I sit and say, God, help me not to be that person anymore. Every single day. Nary a day goes by that I don't. If you got no stomach for that, then this ain't the life for you right now. This, we're talking about the deep things. Now, please remember the section of Scripture we're looking at, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the things he's talking here now, they weren't to non-believers. These things were for the deep. These things were for the believers. Those that were serious. In the next two chapters, he doesn't address non-believers at all. He doesn't say anything about salvation. Zero. This is to you that are apostles or disciples, disciplined. This is for you who are serious about the things of the Lord. This ain't for newbies. This is for those that are hungered and hungered, starving, ready to die. You with me? Okay, number one. I'm going to breeze through now. Now we're going to go through. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing you do is start with praise. Second thing, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, that is in heaven. That's verse 10. Circle that, write number 2 next to it. That's when you take your time to offer him your will. God, my life as a husband is you. It's in you. God, my life as a boss is in you. God, my life as a pastor, it's in you. God, my life as a coach at the gym is in you. God, my life, everything. God, your will be done, your kingdom come in my life. In every aspect, I'm giving it to you. You understand me? 3, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. My father used to always say, I never pray for myself. And I used to say, Dad, why not? Oh, I don't deserve it. There's other people that need it more. I'm healthy. And Dad, God cares about every little bit of your life. If you're short on money, listen to me. God can open that door anytime. You go and say, God, give us this day our daily bread. I'm not telling you to do it. The Lord Jesus said, give us this day. God, give me enough for today and I can worry about tomorrow. God, help me in this business I'm on. God, help me sell this house. Go to him with it. These are the little details that God's interested in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Yes? Amen. Okay. Next, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You could circle that. That's another subsection. You get to that. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. God knows your sins. The Bible calls him Jehovah Ruai, the Lord who sees. If any of you guys have done anything that you think God doesn't know about, you're fools. God knows everything. He's seen it. Don't be general. God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. No, don't do that. You sit before, like you're sitting before a God who's watched your whole day, and you don't even look at the chair when you do this, and you just go, God. And you tell him everything, because he knows. Bible says he already has need. No, he already knows what you need before you ask. He knows what you've done. He knows where you've gone. Well, if he knows, then why am I even wasting my time telling him? Why doesn't he just do it? Because he has a lot invested in you, and he wants a relationship with you, each and every one of us separately. Ladies, if I told you what God wants to do with your life, it looks nothing like what the world's telling you right now. He wants to restore to you your purity. He wants to give you back your strength and your honor. He doesn't want a man to run your life ever again. He wants to take you and clothe you in strength and honor. You ladies, you single ladies here that have been lied to, have done atrocious things with your body, atrocious things with your heart. God says, I wash that away. Wash it away like that. You kidding me? And I'll make you strong. No man will ever take advantage of you again. That's what he wants to do. Give him it all. And don't forget about that last part of that. And forgive those who have trespassed against us. Forgive our debtors. That's like, God, that dude that did me wrong, forget it. He's yours. You know, that teacher that did me wrong, he's yours. That uncle that did this, that God, I'm forgiving them all today. I'm forgiving them all. I ain't holding it no more. And sometimes you got to do it every day, especially married or if you have a dysfunctional family, because all of a sudden you turn 30 years old, you get wise, you know, you get hip, and you're like, man, my parents did me wrong. Better let it go. Believe me when I tell you, it ain't going to give nothing for you. You walk around hating your wife the rest of your life because of this? Oh, well, I'll stay there, and I'll be faithful, but I don't got to like her. Some of you women here, your husbands did you wrong at the early part of your relationship, and you've been making him pay for it his whole life with you. How's that working for you? Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation. Circle that one. Do not lead us into temptation. That is a very interesting section. That's the time where you ask God to supernaturally direct yourselves. The Bible says that the good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. You ask God to keep you away from everything and anything that will cause temptation because of your weakness. Here's what my time with the Lord in that looks like. God, you know the weakness of my flesh. I ask you, please, that the woman that would cause me to greatly stumble, may she not even cross my path today. God, I pray that business deal that would cause me to lose my freedom to do something illegal, may it not even ring on my phone today. God, you know the weakness of my flesh, how every temptation turns to sin. And guys, please, understand, temptation is not sin, and sin is not temptation. They are very, very different. Just because, guys, if you see a woman that you think is very attractive, that's not sin. That's temptation. Now, what you think about after that, what you do with those thoughts, that's what might become sin. Same thing with you ladies. And guys don't even like to think about that. Well, my wife don't lust after no other guy. I'm all she needs. That goes for me. It don't go for you. Right? And last two, but deliver us from the evil one. Let me tell you what I use that session. The Bible says that the sound of the Lord's voice, darkness trembles. The sound of his voice, darkness trembles. Now, what is the sound of his voice? Nothing else but the word of God. So what I did is in my iPhone, I've got the note section. So every time that I read a verse that I want to pray over one of my family members, I go back to my notes section, and my wife, I've got these verses that every day I pray over, and I do that during Deliver Us from the Evil One, because I pray over my wife these verses, I pray over my kids these verses, I pray over my mom and prayed over my dad before he passed, all these verses that I had, every single day, because I knew if I prayed verses over them, the enemy cannot touch them. And if the enemy did come near them, then it was ordained by God, and God will make somehow it will make it good. It's not a shield against trials. It's a shield against tragedies that are not ordained by God. Ooh, did that open a door in somebody's mind? Because I know the church today, they tell you if you don't have money, if you're sick, if you're not popular, it's your lack of faith. Somehow the Bible doesn't say that, but in Christianity we've adopted that. So deliver us from the evil one. Find a Bible verse and pray over your life. God, I claim this verse over my life. You ready? I'm going to tell you one that I pray over me and my son. Both of us, I pray that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. The life that now we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. I want me and my son to have nothing for this world. Zero. Nothing. Nothing. And lastly, number 7, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And what it is when you've read it about 6,000 times, you start to understand that this whole thing is about him. It's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. And although you want to be in his kingdom, you want to do it with his power. And you want to bring him the glory. So it's almost like you're sandwiching this thing between our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and because yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So you're kind of starting with praise and ending with praise. Kind of a praise sandwich. Now remember, you can do this in 5 minutes, or you can do this in an hour. You can breeze through this. Write this stuff. You're going to write this down. You want power. I'm not telling you anything the Bible doesn't say. This isn't my secret sauce. This is how you're going to make it, if you want to make it. Now, I'm pretty much done, so close your Bible. We're going to do the rest of it next week. God's got a lot invested in you, a lot more than $110 million. Dare I say, if somebody came to you and said, hey, for $110 million, I want your son, and we're going to kill him. Your son has something in his blood. Your son has something in his DNA that we need. We can make a lot of money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your son, I'm going to take your daughter, and we're going to sacrifice him. We're going to kill him. We're going to take his body apart, and we're going to use something in his blood and his bone marrow, something. But I'm going to give you $110 million. How many would even consider? Keep your money. It's my kid. Now, some of you guys got teenagers and you're like, eh. $110 million? Of course I say that in jest. It wouldn't even the worst, you guys here that have the worst kids in the world would like, keep your money. You're not taking my kid. There's always hope, even for the most lost of children. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to ask you, what did God do for you? Do you believe what I'm saying to be true? Do you believe me? God gave his son way more than $110 million. He invested in you, and he has a plan for your life that he wants to come to pass, and he will give you every opportunity to make it. He said, I've got HGH, I got steroids, I got creatine, I got jujitsu, I got whatever. Come take it. Come get it. I'm busy. I'm working. Okay. For the sake of my son, just take the grace then. GRACE. Here you go. That'll get you to heaven. You won't have a reward when you get there, though. What do you mean I won't have a reward? If you did nothing for anybody but yourself, your whole Christian life, and all you did was sit and listen to a bunch of sermons preached by a guy who can't hardly talk English. I mean me. I mean, like, I don't even know what I mean anymore. How about this? If you've never made that investment back, you're here because God brought you here. You're not here because I invited you and you thought, man, I'm so cute, you got to come here. You're here because God has a plan for your life. If you would like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're serious, not if you're curious, not if you want fire insurance because you just want to go to heaven. I'm talking about you want to accept Christ as your Savior. You want to give Him your life. You want to follow His plan. You want to change life. If I am talking about you today, stand up. I will lead you in a prayer that you can offer your heart to God. I'll give you the words. It's got to be your heart, but I'll do that. Anybody here, I never want anybody to leave here without having the opportunity to serve God, to give Him your heart. Go on now. Stand up. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, stand up now. Congratulations, brother. Sister. Good job. Stay standing, please. Stay standing because I want to lead you guys in a prayer. Anybody else? Anybody else that want to just stand up and say, you know what? I'm done with this mediocrity of life. I'm done with this misery that is this life. And I want to not just give my life to God. I want to live my life for God. If He invested in me, His Son, He died for me, I can die for Him. I can live for Him. Anybody else? Anybody else? Tell you what, you guys keep standing. Let's take 30 seconds. Everybody in the room, pray that if anybody is bound by the chains of the enemy, just take 30 seconds and pray. If anybody is tied up by the power of the enemy, let's pray those chains off now. Does anybody else want to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, give their life, and make Him Lord today? Anybody else? Willie, why don't you do that now, and let's get this over with now. That way you can do this in front of everybody too, like you did last week. All right, bro? Do this just in front of everybody, just so it's in front of everybody, just because He died in front of everybody. Willie accepted the Lord last week after the service, and I just want to make sure that he, you know, it's in front of everybody. This is what He wants to be, and I want to give everybody. The Lord Jesus didn't do His thing behind closed doors. You know, they stripped Him naked and hung Him on a cross. So if He can die for us in front of a bunch of people, I think for in front of 50 people, you can stand up too. I think so. Anybody else? Yes, congratulations, sister. Congratulations. Okay. Last chance. Now. Okay. You can always do it later. It's fine, but I'm praise God for you guys. You guys that have stood up, I'm going to give you a prayer to pray. Pray it out loud. Again, same thing. Visualize that God is up in heavenly with His arms stretched out to you, and this is the prayer you're going to say to Him. Say it out loud. Say, Dear God, I open my heart and I let You inside. Be my God, be my Savior, be my friend, lead my every step. Forgive me of my sins. I've decided today to follow You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. You may be seated now. You sit down if you like, brother. Now, if you need a Bible, if you need a friend, if you need a brother, we're going to have our leadership here afterward. We want to get you started on this walk. Or if you just need some time, you know, we'll be here on Wednesday and we'll be here on Sunday. Lee?
The prayer guidelines and stuff are right out there what you.
It's a good idea. Yeah, we also have a you guys notice on that front thingy, what do you call it? Was it shelving unit? Front shelving unit. There's a bunch of different handouts there. One of them says daily devotion guide that I'll kind of go through the steps in a little more detail than what I did today. And if you have any questions about it, please remember, like I said from the beginning, don't do this thing alone. There's no reason to do it alone. The Lord Jesus was with us every step of the way. He was with His apostles and His disciples through every misstep and every step. So please let us come alongside you and love you through this walk, okay? Let's pray and dismiss. Father God, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your word and ask You to bless those that have received You as Savior and Lord, those that didn't stand up and still yet wanted to accept your full plan. God, bless them as well, and help us, God, in all these things that we want to do. God, if there was anything said today that touched somebody's heart that said, man, that's what I want, God, help them to achieve that in you. You be our spiritual steroids, God, you, because in you we live and we move and we have our being. We dedicate these things to you by the power of Christ's blood alone. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.